There we go.
Dear God, I thank you so much. I thank you so much that we're blessed, that we have so much to be thankful for. Lord, even in the midst of the darkest days, even in the midst of days where we feel like nothing is going right, we live in this beautiful country and we have homes and we have the ability to speak freely, and that's more than so many people have. We have access to so much, and I am thankful today. So Lord, help us turn our thankfulness into attentiveness. Help us be focused on you in this moment, and help us have fun doing it. In your name we pray, amen. So, I'm stealing this game from somebody else, but it is a wonderful game. We are going to play Lamentations or Taylor Swift lyrics. And I need some victims. You want me to... Oh, the lights? Yeah, the lights would be great. Sorry, I thought you were volunteering your husband for a second. if I can get Brittany and Danea and Casey. Oh yeah, you gotta come up here. If I get you guys to come stand over here. Yeah, give them a round of applause. Casey does get picked on disproportionately. It's because she's my neighbor. So, the lines are up there, and you guys have to tell me what you think. So, next slide. She cries herself to sleep at night, tears soaking her pillow. Taylor Swift, Lamentations. Taylor Swift? That is actually Lamentations chapter 1, verse 2. Next slide. Your words like knives and swords and weapons Taylor that you Swift. Use against me. Taylor Swift, you're certain about this. Taylor Swift? Yes, it's mean. Next one. That one's an easy line. My eyes are blind with tears, my stomach is in a knot. That is Lamentations chapter 2, verse 11 to 13. Next one. I have forgotten what happiness is. Lamentations, you guys have got this. Next one. I'm aching, no past, nowhere to hide. Lamentations. No idea. No idea. That's Taylor Swift. The last time. All we are is skin and bones. Not a clue. That's what I was hoping for. Are you sure about that?
No.
No?
That's my answer.
No. It's Treacherous by Taylor Swift.
Well, you know what? She's awful.
She has a lot of songs, and they all sound the same. That's true. All right, that's it. All you win is this wonderful round of applause. Thank you, guys. You're awesome. So, the reason I want to do this, besides just making my friends embarrassed, I wanted to show how close some of these things are. How hard it can be just to tell the difference between the Word of God and a pop song written 2,000 years later. I don't know about you, but I've struggled with figuring out what I think God is saying and what God is actually trying to say to me. You know, I've heard this question again and again to God. Again, how do I know what is actually God and what's just the thoughts in my head? How do you know what's God's idea pushing you to do something and what's just something you're just really stubborn about that you won't let go? What is a vision and a dream from God and what's just bad tacos from last night? I actually had that conversation with a kid once. They were telling me that they were having dreams and it was bad and it was awful after they had eaten, I think, 17 tacos the night before at a youth event. And he was saying, I feel awful. God's mad at me and angry with me. I'm like, maybe give it one more day before you make that judgment. Actually, I've got a great story too. This is Beth's. When Beth was a teenager, her friends were very spiritual. They were very into God and they were just very in the Word and in prophecy and just all of these things, but they're also teenage girls. So one day they're standing out in a field, just this empty dirt field, at least they think it is, And one of their friends just feels like God is telling them to just shut their eyes and to just run. And then when they open their eyes, God is going to show them something. So all these girls, they decide they're going to do this. They're somewhat smart, and they all stand back to back with each other and close their eyes so they don't go, you know, bonking into each other, because that'd be dumb. And they all go running off in different directions. However, it turns out the field was not as empty as they thought it was. There was like this metal box surrounded with a chain link fence. Beth ran face first into it, split her lip, blackened her eye, and broke her glasses in half. She ran into it hard. Maybe that wasn't the word of God speaking to them. But how do you tell the difference? How do you know? Well, today, we're going to finish looking at the spiritual disciplines by talking about how you do know the difference. Studying the Bible, not just reading it, but learning to understand it, is key to our Christian walk. Listen, you can pray, you can fast, you can meditate. But if you do not study the Word, all of those things will be fruitless. You will never know what is God's voice and what is just your own thoughts. Now, some of you might turn off your brains or start to sweat when you hear the word study. You might remember all the endless, boring, useless essays you had to do in high school. You might rather do anything else. And since my theme is picking on people today, I'm going to pick on Beth again, because the woman hates school. I have seen my wife spend more time avoiding an assignment than it would take for her to write. I once saw her spend 5 days avoiding a 300-word report. Just a paragraph. That's all she had to do. Yet even Beth, the most free-spirited, carefree person in the world, has seen the point of study. She would not have subjected herself to 4 years of Bible college. And trust me, subjected is the right word. The first day of school of our last year, I had class before she did, a day before, and I come home to Beth curled up on the couch, wrapped in a blanket, sleeping sideways, watching Star Trek and saying, "I don't want to go to school. I don't want to go to school." But she went. She went because she realized that if she wanted to help people to teach about Jesus, she had to study the Word herself. The truth is, many of us can have anxiety about studying the Word. And I get it. The Bible is ancient. It is foreign. The sentences barely make sense sometimes. I know for me, sometimes I'll read the Word, and having studied it for years and years and years, I still trip over it when I read the Bible out loud. It still makes me nervous to try to read a portion of Scripture I haven't practiced. But often, even though the Bible sits on the shelf, it shouldn't. Because I'll tell you, many Christians are stunted, are not growing, exactly because they do not study the Word. You can go to church week after week after week. You can play on the worship team. You can greet, you can count offering, you can help with Sunday school. Not just sitting in a pew, you can be active in the church. You can listen with your heart, you can pray in your spirit, you can obey with your life and still not change. You can go through all the motions and never get anything out of it, because you'll never learn to hear what's God's voice and what's just your own opinion. And as a denomination, Pentecostals, we are especially bad at this. I actually had 2 classes on Pentecostal church history, and there is a pattern, again and again and again, of us worrying about the experience and not enough about the Word. We worry about mountaintop experiences and not what's written in Scripture. Now, don't get me wrong. I love those moments. I love when God is so present and real that you cannot do anything to ignore Him. We're taking our kids to Youthquake because they need to see that. They need to see that radical experience where God is the only thing around you and you're away from the world. But when the noise comes back, when you get back to work and paying the bills and kids driving you nuts, when all of that comes back, the mountaintop experience isn't going to get you through it. You're not going to hear God as clearly as you did in the silence. John chapter 8, verse 32 says this: "If you abide in my word, you are truly my disciple, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." So here's the truth. Good feelings don't save us. Ecstatic experiences with God don't free us. Being on a mountaintop does not protect us. The truth of the gospel, the words written in that Bible, that's what sets us free. To learn who God really is what sets us free. And to love him obediently. If you want to know God, then you need to be in the scriptures. It's the story of God's character. Thousands of years of testimonies. That's what the Bible is. Thousands of years of testimony about what God does and does not do. Who he is. Proof that he is loving. Proof that he is just and somehow balances those two things. You know, I've been reading this past week like I always do, and one of the things that has been caught in my heart reading through the story of the Bible is how little God cares about momentary gain. You know, God always picks the long-term solution over the short-term. That's why Jesus' coming took so long, was to prepare people for thousands of years so that Jesus could come in the fullness of time. How often do we look for the short-term solution instead of putting in the hard work to do something right? If you want to know God, you need to study. Meditation, prayer, fasting, those are all subjective. What you get out of them comes from inside of you. The only way to know if it's you or God is to have read these testimonies, to have a picture of who he is, to hear his still small voice and actually understand it. You know, you can pick your spouse out of a crowded room. You can hear their voice because you know them, because you've spent years with them. The problem is, often we rush for the easy solution, just like I said. We have a world that's built on noise and hurry and crowds. We're so busy that we try to do this quickly. So often what we do is we get the information secondhand. We try to get the Word of God condensed, explained, and packaged. Try to find books to explain God to us. Or pastors who do all the work for us. Or YouTube videos that will explain a topic in 5 minutes. Now, don't get me wrong, these are good tools. You know, I use the Bible Project. I use commentaries. I use the ideas from other pastors. But the second those become your primary source, the second is all you do is read other people's writings about Scripture, you've sold your relationship to God. You've given that up to make somebody else the God of your life. You know, I've said this before and I will keep saying it. If all you do is hear my sermon on Sunday, you are going to starve. You are going to miss out on the fullness of what God has for you. Being Christian, serving God will be a nightmare if all you do is come to Sunday morning and sit here and listen to the message. And those other resources, the books and the podcasts and the sermons and the videos, sometimes they cause more problems than they're worth. There was a passage that one of my professors made us memorize at Vanguard. He drilled it into our heads that we had to know this. It's from 2 Timothy. The time is coming when people will not endure sound teaching. But having itching ears, they will accumulate for themselves teachers to suit their own passions and will turn away from listening to the truth and wander off into myths. See, here's the problem with our world right now when it comes to the Bible. You can find someone who speaks well from just about any angle you want. You can find somebody who has a degree or a license to be a pastor who believes just about anything. Did you know there is an atheist pastor in Toronto? A pastor who does not believe in God. I would love to sit down with that. I honestly would love to sit down with that lady and know what she does in a day, because I can't physically imagine that, but it exists. You will find pastors who will say that any drug is okay. Heck, go back and look at World War II. There were pastors in Germany who were saying that what Hitler was doing was not just okay, but justified and right. There was a whole seminary of pastors justifying through the Bible Hitler's extermination of the Jews. This is not a new problem. People can find teachers that agree with whatever they want. Whether it's your views on prophecy or prosperity or alcohol or gay marriage or immigration or politics or authority or healing or baptism or the end times. You can find a Bible teacher who will agree with your theology about something. They believe what's in the sermons or the podcasts or the videos, and that's it. And that is a loss, because God wants to have a personal relationship with you. God wants to know you through his word. The reality is, all these extra things, when they take hold of us, they're the worst possible thing. Because instead of wanting Jesus, having itching ears like I'm talking about shows that our real desire, this is really important, listen to me, our real desire is to be safe and comfortable. It's not to know God, it's to be agreed with. And I'm telling you right now, if you're looking for safety and comfort, you are in the wrong building. If you are looking for safety and comfort, you're in the wrong religion. Because real Christianity, the kind that is growing in this place that I know God is going to bring, is dangerous, wild, unpredictable, messy, and the farthest thing from stable. I've seen a lot of people get frustrated with their pastors or their teachers or whoever is teaching the Bible, because they don't believe about a certain topic the same way. I saw once where someone went up to their pastor and said, "Pastor, I don't agree that women should be leaders. I'm leaving this church. I'm done." And that breaks my heart. Because the truth is, you will never find a pastor. Actually, I don't think you'll ever find another person who agrees about every single thing in the Bible that you do. You'll never find another person who sees the entire breadth and width of the Bible the same way. My goal as a teacher on Sunday morning is not to agree with you. My goal is to provoke you. Listen, I want you to hear what I say on Sunday morning, and I want you to be challenged by it one way or the other. If you agree with what I say, I want you to see your life changed. If you agree, "Man, I need to be praying," go pray. Go pray. If you need help, I will help you with it. And if you disagree with something I say, if I preach on a topic and you go, "Man, Pastor Nick is completely out to lunch on this," awesome. I want you to show me in the Bible where you disagree with me, and I would love to sit down for coffee with you. You might not change my mind, but I really enjoy those conversations. The goal is not to get everyone completely on the same page, to be uniform, identical models of each other. The goal is to celebrate our differences. To know where the limits are, this far and no farther. And within that space, to be allowed to be different. We believe in Jesus. We believe in the gospel. We believe in the power of the cross. And all the secondary stuff, we can debate and talk about in love. We are transformed by the renewing of our minds, by studying the Bible, not just reading it for the sake of reading it, but really trying to understand the words. Good feelings don't move us. The Word of God does. So I have a challenge for you today. If you're a new believer, if you're someone who's not really in the Bible very much, I want you to try to read through a book of the Bible in order. If you have someone who can help you with that, you know, there's lots of people in this church. If you've never read through a book of the Bible, I'm sure somebody would love to help you figure out how to do that. You can come talk to me after. But just read through it in order. Don't just read random scriptures. Don't just read somebody else's devotional. Read a chapter a day in order. See the flow and the structure and the message God wrote down in that book for you. I promise you, thousands of years later, it still is a beautiful story. And if you're a mature believer, actually, I had to think about this one to challenge you guys with this week. If you're a mature believer, if you've spent years and years and years in church and you're going, "Pastor, I read the Bible once a year. I've gone through the whole thing in every language, every translation. I can do this. I don't need to study anymore." This is what I want you to do. Take some time this week to study the opposite of your favorite subject. Whatever it is you're passionate and deep about, look at what the opposition has to say, no matter how crazy you think they are. You know, if you are passionate about the spiritual gifts, about prophecy and healing and tongues and all of this, look at the writings of those who say the gifts no longer operate. Now, I believe the gifts operate. Let me be very clear about that. But look at what they say. Study it. Learn it. Try to understand. You might actually gain some knowledge about God from it. You know, if worship is your favorite thing, look at the writing, look at the teachings of those who say that worship isn't important. Because there are churches that no longer worship anymore. We don't need songs. We don't need this time at the beginning. We just need to sit and talk. You know, if you believe healing is for everyone, what about those who say that it isn't? Be challenged. Learn from the experience of others and celebrate it. I'm not asking you to change your opinions. All I'm asking is that we look at the Word and we celebrate our differences together. Don't fall into the trap of having itching ears. Learn from your brothers and sisters, because that's what they are. Your brothers and sisters who disagree with you. So, as we close up this series on the spiritual disciplines, I have an object lesson I stole from Facebook. So hopefully you haven't seen it. Maybe I just get these advertisements because I'm on pastors' pages. But this jar, say it represents your life. And each one of these yellow smiley face ping pong balls are something that we do that dishonors God. You know, I went to the bar on Friday and got completely hammered. I slept around. I lied. I cheated. I cursed my parents. Whatever. Our life, when it doesn't honor God, when it's messy and broken and painful, all these things in it that we wish desperately we didn't do. And say this water is the spiritual disciplines. Prayer and fasting and meditation. Let's say we do it a little bit. Pray a little bit once a while. Fast a little bit once in a while. Doesn't really do much, does it? Can't really see anything in here, can you? Hasn't really moved any of the bad stuff out. Just kind of mingled in there with it. But guys, if you spend your time continually praying and fasting and meditating, the stuff gets pushed out. Now here's the thing. From back there, from back in that back row, what can you see? Probably see the yellow balls more than anything, right? This is our life when we're one foot in and one foot out. You know, the younger people, I kind of get on their case sometimes because I love them. But the single times that you are out of line are what people see more than anything. You know, people don't see this. People see the one time you yelled at the waitress because you were in a hurry. People see the one time you got drunk. People see the one time you were a complete jerk. People see the one time more than anything else. But if we're in the Word, if we pray and we fast and we meditate and we keep doing it over and over and over again, all of this stuff gets pushed out. And not just that, the stuff that's left doesn't stick to us anymore. It doesn't become a habit. It doesn't become our character. It becomes something we do that people go, wow, I never would expect that to happen. And I'll tell you, the recovery of your reputation when you're in this state is a lot easier. When you're full of God, when you pray and you meditate and you fast and you put the work in, when something bad happens, yeah, it's visible. Yeah, it's ugly. But it's a lot easier to take out. It skims the surface. The point I'm trying to make is this. The boring stuff of Christianity, prayer and fasting and meditation and worship and study, these things that we think are secondary are actually the center of our faith. I can get the worship team back up. If you don't have prayer, if you don't have any of the spiritual disciplines, this is never going to happen. This is never going to happen. Come, everyone who thirsts, come to the waters. And he who has no money, come and eat. Come and buy milk and wine without money. Without price. Why do you spend your money for that which is not bread? And why do you labor for that which does not satisfy you? Listen diligently to me and eat what is good and delight yourself in rich food. Incline your ears and come to me. Hear that your soul may live. And I will make with you an everlasting covenant. My steadfast, sure love. So, we are going to take communion. If I can get Bern, if I can get Deja, if I could get Denise, would you mind helping out? And Eleanor, would you mind helping out? We're going to take we're going to take communion as a sign that we honor God, that we truly believe that Jesus died and lives for us, that we are going to fill our lives with the water of spiritual disciplines. Live for him. We're going to live as family. So like always, if you're not in the right place to take communion, if you're fighting or holding against something, your brothers and sisters, please don't take communion. If you're not going to live for God, please don't take communion. But if you are, eat and come and drink. Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his ways. Let the unrighteous forsake his thoughts. And let him return to the Lord, that God may have compassion on him. And to our God, for he will be pardoned. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are my ways your ways, declares the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so my ways than your thoughts. Let's eat in remembrance of him. For as the rain and the snow does not come down from heaven and return to the earth, for as the rain and the snow come down from heaven and do not return there, but water the earth, making it bring forth and sprout, giving seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so my word that goes out of my mouth, it shall not return to me empty. It shall accomplish that which I purpose, and shall succeed in the things for which I sent it. Let's drink in remembrance of what Jesus succeeded on the cross. Let me read the last bit here. For you shall go out in joy and be led forth in peace. The mountains and the hills before you, they shall break forth into singing, and the trees of the field shall clap their hands. Instead of the thorn shall come from the cypress, instead of the briar that shall come from the myrtle, and it shall make a name for the Lord, an everlasting sign that shall not be cut off. Let's close in prayer. Dear God, I thank you for the everlasting sign that is the cross, the death of Jesus, the once and all atonement for our sins. And I thank you for the sign of the Bible, that not a word, not a dash, not the smallest note has been taken from us, that we can go into this book and see your character, that we can see who you are, that you love us unconditionally in a way that we are not good at. Lord, help us to fill our lives with the spiritual disciplines. Help us to fill our lives with the water that renews us. Give us a desire to pray and fast and study and meditate on you, because that is what will change our lives. Help us to be a light in the dark, compassion for the broken, and a family that honors you here today. In your name we pray. Amen. Thank you all for coming. You have a wonderful, amazing Sunday. Amen.